Thank you, Jesus. Us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You are condemned.
For you. One day a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. So they walked up to God, and one of the scientists got the courage to say, "God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go on and get lost?" God listened very patiently and kindly to the men. After the scientist was done talking, God said, "Very well. How about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest. To which the scientist replied, okay, great. But God added, now, we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days of Adam. And they were okay with that. So the scientist said, sure, no problem. And he bent down and grabbed himself some of the dirt, handful of dirt that was there. And God looked at him and said, no, no, no. Go get your own dirt. Lift up your Bibles and say with me as they put it on the screen, this is the living word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true from Genesis to Revelations. Today I will be taught from the word of God. My heart is receptive and my spirit is alive as I learn to submit my will to his. I am forever changed, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Today I want to talk to you a little bit. Oh, I did forget. See, I sure am glad I got a loving wife that helps me, this old man, remember. You know, tomorrow I turn 65, so I've gone over the hill by then. So, but anyway, I'd like to introduce, in fact, no, I would like Ray to introduce our guest. Shirley can, one of them. One of you introduce your... Hello, Sandy. You're a guest today. Next week, your family. We only allow guests for 1 week, I'm sorry to say. But other than that, I do have one other thing to say that was brought to my attention last week before I start. And this is someone that is very humble and has a hard time stating things, but I'd like to say it for her. Janie came up to me after service, and if it's okay to say this, Janie? I don't know, maybe not, no. It's a miracle. Okay. She came up to me after service last week and said, Pastor, I want to let you know that my job that I just got was a miracle. Had to be a miracle. They couldn't find any of my application. They couldn't find any. They don't even know why I'm here. So it has to be a miracle. And I said, you know, that's God. God presents the best job and the most, you know, your perfect job he presents to you. And it is a miracle from him. And you know, when you deal with the government, they're pretty precise. So for them to turn around and say, we don't even know, that lets you know God knows. God knows what he's doing. He presented her with a marvelous job. And he's just going to... That's a blessing from God, my dear. Blessing from... I went home after she said that, you know, and I was saying, wow, thank you, Lord, because I know how long we've been praying. All of us. I know how long. So never give up on what God has for you. Never give up. And I never take second best, because God has got the best and the perfect job waiting for you. Now, we can settle for the second best. We can settle for things that are not quite, you know, be satisfied. But God says, why be satisfied when I've got the best? I've got all the riches in heaven just to bestow upon you. Amen? So this morning, as we continue on, I want to talk to you about physical and spiritual blindness. Physical and spiritual blindness. Just as Jesus gives sight to those who are physically blind, so too he grants spiritual insight to those who are in moral darkness or have needs but don't know how to ask for the answers. And he has the way, if we will cry out to him for mercy, he will answer. And sometimes we do. We take the second best because we haven't learned to cry out to God. We think this is as good as it's going to get. And to God, no, it's not. It's not as good as it's going to get. If you know, you have to look at it that way. Turn with me to Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. In the King James, New King James, it says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried even all the more, louder too, I believe, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Do you understand what just happened there? Here was a man born blind, physical blind. All he could do because of his blindness was beg. Lay on the side of the road and beg. So, I think there's some things that we need to learn about Jesus here. And I want to talk to you about a miracle that has taken place. A miracle that has taken place. Okay? But there's concepts here. First, to receive a miracle from God, the very first thing you need to learn to do, you need to realize your need. Right? To receive a miracle from God, you must realize your need. That's why so many people in today's world go by just being satisfied because they don't realize their need. They think, this is as good as it's... I've heard this over and over from Christians. Well, this is as good as it's going to get. No, it isn't. And if you want it, you can have it. But I'm not abiding by that. I'm abiding by God's riches and glory in heaven and says, I can do all things through him who was crucified. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Bartimaeus knew that he was blind. And obviously, everyone else around him knew that he was blind. Right? He called out for the Son of David to have mercy on him. He was expressing his belief that Jesus was the Messiah and that he could heal his blindness. He knew who Jesus was, and he also knew what Jesus could do for him. Now, I ask you a question today. Do you know what Jesus can do for you? If he can restore the sight to the blind, he can grant you the deepest and the longings of your heart, but you need to learn out to cry out for mercy, just like the blind man did. That's what you need to know. You need to know that Jesus can do this. Jesus can do anything because he's the healer. Like the song says, say it with me. All things are possible. Through who? Through this pastor. Through Jesus Christ. All things. If we can get this engraved into our head, into our heart, I think wake up every morning and before you even get out of that bed, or when you get out of that bed, before you do anything that day, you need to say that. All things are possible through you, God, today. So I'm expecting a miracle today. Hallelujah. I'm expecting something great to happen today. Or you can get up and say, oh, well, it's just another day. I sure will be glad when it's done. I got to go to work. I got to work this 8-hour shift. You know, I got to do all this hard stuff. Well, you know what? You just said what you're going to do. Amen? You moan and groan, you'll get the moan and groan. You think negative, you'll get negative. You think positive, you'll get positive. All things are possible through Him. Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you got battery problems. Yes. Now, so you know what Jesus can do, right? Do you know who Jesus is? See, he's much more than just a good teacher. So many people want to claim that today. So many religious sects today will claim that Jesus was just a good man. He was a good teacher. You know, he was a prophet. But they don't say who he really is. Jesus today is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Jesus today is the Savior of the world. Jesus today is the healer of the world. Jesus today is all that you need. You don't need Jesus and someone else. You just need. I'm an interactive pastor. I like to have people, you know, kind of stay with me on this one. Either that or I feel like you've gone to sleep on me. So stay with me. Today we need to understand this concept that there is physical blindness and there is spiritual blindness. The whole subject of blindness is a very important subject in the Bible. All through the scripture, blindness is a spiritual metaphor and is used to represent the spiritual inability to see God's truth. There are so many people today, Christian and non-Christian, that can be spiritually blind because you tend to want to live your way, not God's way. You tend to not give it to God because you want to do it. So you live in blindness of what God could truly do for you. As a man is physically blind, he cannot see God's visible revelation. That is, he can't see the trees and the earth and the sky. But as a man is spiritually blind, he cannot see God's invisible revelation. Love, truth, holiness, forgiveness, blessing, eternal life, grace, joy, peace, etc., etc., etc. That's where the spiritual insight comes in. You're not going to receive that through your physical being. You're going to receive it through your spiritual being. Now understand, you are spiritually dead. That's why the God talks about two births. Jesus talks about two births. You are physically born. You are physically born. In that physical born, yes, you can feel your body. Some of us are a little bit taller. Some of us a little smaller. Some of us are a little bit bigger. Some of us are not. But that's our physical birth. But you do not obtain spiritual birth until you accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Once you've done that, then your spiritually dead body becomes alive. And what you do with the spiritual body after that makes all the difference in the world. You can let your spiritual life and your spiritual body grow, or it can also grow stagnant. And that's where the spiritual blindness comes into being. You have to understand, what do you want Jesus to do for you? As the blind does not see the vast blue of the sky, the blanket of green that covers the earth, the immensity of creation, the rainbow of colors that speckles the earth, or light altogether, that's what physical blindness is all about. You don't see anything. It's black. So, the blind spirit does not see the vast holiness and purity of God, the grace of God, the limitless power of God, and the love of God, which colors every revelation, and the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. I mean, if I had to look at the two, I think spiritual blindness is a lot worse than physical blindness. Because even the physical blind can feel the presence of God. They might not see any light out here, but they can have the revelation light inside. And God can present that. But when you're spiritually blind, you not only see things out here that are just vague to you, they're colorless, black and white, but you also are dead inside. You can't see the things that God wants you to see. You think everything's just hunky-dory, everything's just going to be fine, or this is as good as it's going to get. And it's not in God's sight. God says all things. Again, all things are possible. So we have to understand, we need to recognize our condition and cry out to Jesus for help. Number two, we need to come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus was right on. He did more than just believe. He acted on what he knew to be true by his boldness. He knew that he needed mercy because there was nothing he could do on his own. And so he called out to Jesus to have mercy on him. But now here's what took place. The crowd of people rebuked him for shouting, and many severely censured him and reproved him, telling him to be still, be quiet. But I do love his response. But he kept on shouting out all the more, "You, Son of God, Son of David, have pity and mercy on me." See, this guy was really bold and courageous. He chose not to listen to the crowd and shouted out even louder than the first time. He broke all the cultural rules of etiquette. He didn't allow the negative that people were telling him to embrace him and go by it. People today, including Christians, will come to you from time to time and say, "You can't do that. It'll never happen. You know, be quiet. Don't bother God. You know, he's a busy man up there, and he doesn't have time to deal with your little pity questions or your little pity desires." None of you guys have heard that, right? I've heard it all the time. I hear it all the time. You can't do that. How God can't heal that person. We got to get the doctors to do it. There's no way a financial miracle will take place. You might as well just be satisfied with what you have. You have the choice. Bartimaeus had the choice to listen to them and be quiet. He also had the choice to say, "Forget you. I know what God can do. I know what God can do, and I'm going to shout till he hears me. I'm going to shout louder. I'm going to shout till the devil hears me. I'm going to shout till everybody around me hears me, because I know he's the only one that can do this. You can't do it. If you can take and heal my sight, do it right now. But if you can't do it, maybe you ought to shut up and let me do what I know God can do." Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Only God can do it. He didn't want Jesus to get away. This was his chance to receive some mercy and perhaps his sight. I wonder if you and I have the same kind of boldness and courage when it comes to calling out for divine help. Hebrews 4:16 in the Amplified says, "Let us then..." Now I want you to hear it, because this is the Amplified, and it really gets right down to the nitty-gritty in words. "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it." That's not Jerry's scripture. You know, that is right out of the Bible, and that's why he said that, is to encourage people to be confident, to be bold, to come bold before the throne of grace. Because you now are born again, because you have Jesus living inside of you, you have the ability to come boldly before the throne of grace with Jesus inside you. You cannot do that without him. You go to the throne. I'll tell you about the priesthood. The priesthood had, when they went into the holies of holies, the inner part of that, the court, and they only one priest could do this. The high priest, only he had the ability to do that. But they did something. They put chains around him. They put bells around him, and then put a rope on him, and they allowed him to go in there. And as long as they had heard the bells ringing, they knew he was alive. See, you couldn't go to the throne room unless you were pure. If there was any fault or failure in you, God would just take you right there. And there were high priests that were taken that they had to drag back out because they were not pure to the sight of God. But I think, praise be to God, that when Jesus came and when Jesus died, when he shed his last drip of blood, and when he said it is finished, it said the holies of holies, the drapery broke from the top to the bottom, and it was open to you and I. Now you can come boldly to the throne because of Jesus, not because of anything you did, but it's because of what Jesus did. You have that ability. You have the ability to go right up to the holies of holies. You have the ability to go right up to God and talk to God direct through Jesus inside you. Woo! That should make somebody shout. Woo! Get excited for Jesus, because that's what he's telling you. Don't hold back or be afraid to give yourself to Jesus. Come to him boldly and with confidence. Let him know what you need. That's what he's waiting for. And he'll reward you with mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. Do you understand that? Woo! Three. It says not only are you to come boldly, but you need to confess what you need. Verse 49 through 51. As a result of Bartimaeus' boldness, Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, telling him, hey, take courage, get up. Just, you got to understand, these were the same people telling him to shut up. You know, the same people that was telling him to shut up said, hey, get up, Jesus is calling you. I won't go about what I thought about those people. Get up, he is calling you. Bartimaeus not just got up and walked, you know, blind. Understand, the guy's blind. You know? But it says here that he threw his cloak aside and jumped to his feet and went to Jesus. I'll tell you, when you go to Jesus, you're going to forget your blindness. You're going to forget everything. And you're going to come boldly to him, because your spiritual eyes all of a sudden will come alive and you'll be able to see him. That was an amen corner. Boy, you guys are just way too quiet this morning. Can you imagine how the crowd must have felt? Especially those who had rebuked him. I can picture everything getting real quiet. People are looking at Bartimaeus and then at Jesus. He is now face to face with the Messiah. The question that Jesus asked Bartimaeus was very interesting. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Well, come on now. Isn't it obvious what Bartimaeus needed? But Jesus said that because he wanted to hear it from Bartimaeus and asked him that question for Bartimaeus' sake and for the crowd's sake. Do you understand that? He asked him, what do you want me to do? It was for Bartimaeus' sake, but it was also for the crowd's sake. Because the crowd just prior to that was rebuking him. And now Jesus is asking him one more time, what do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? He wanted Bartimaeus to verbalize what it was that he wanted. And I love his answer. Master, let me receive my sight. Master, let me receive my sight. I ask you this question. What do you want Jesus to do for you today? Have you ever put into words the cry of your heart? Have you ever verbalized your deepest needs? Have you ever shouted out for mercy to have Jesus help you with a problem, a job, school, finances, a physical or even spiritual healings? Whatever it might be, have you ever cried out, or are you content to say, it's as good as it's going to be? I'm sorry to say, I can't live that way when I know I have a master and a savior that's willing and desiring and wanting to do anything he can to help you. He has the riches in heaven that he just wants to present to you. Why live like a pauper when you can be the richest person on this earth? Why we sometimes settle with second best when God has the best? A lot of times all it is crying out to God. Making our needs verbaled. Making our needs known to Jesus. Now, I've heard Christians, well, God already knows my needs. I don't want to beg or plead or anything. Maybe you need to beg or plead. You know? Maybe that's exactly what Jesus wants from you. Is he wants to hear if you're really for real or are you just satisfied? I'm not satisfied. I'm for real. And I want all that my God can give to me. I want all that Jesus can lay upon us. I want all that Jesus has for me. Quit living like a pauper when you're a king priest. Hallelujah. See, I believe that Jesus is waiting for you to exhibit some boldness and to ask him for what you need. I believe he's waiting for that. The answer's already there. The answer's there. He's just waiting for you to verbalize it. He's just waiting for you to say it. God, this is what I want. Sometimes, oh Lord, I just need this, but thy will be done. I've heard that. I say, oh God, have mercy on me. Lord, I need this more than life itself. And Lord, I know you have the ability and I know you have the desire. So Lord, oh God, right now, see it. Grant it to me. That's what we have to do. And you know, and this kind of ties to the last point of the passage. Once we admit our blindness and place our belief in Jesus as our only Savior and Lord, we can then be bold in our request. And it says that he received a blessing. Verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. Here's the spiritual principle that we should never forget. Jesus always responds to faith. I'm going to say that again. Jesus always responds to faith. Because Bartimaeus believed and put his faith in Jesus, he received his sight back. Jesus is looking for more of that type of faith in today's world. People who will exhibit some faith, no matter how small it is, and cry out for mercy, God is there. Jesus loves to answer prayers like that by healing us from the inside out, granting us spiritual insight as he moves us out of the darkness that is all around us. Hallelujah. Luke 18:43 tells it this way, and I love it. And it says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So when Bartimaeus got his sight back, he couldn't help but break out into praise. He was thrilled at what God had done. He was thrilled at what God had done. And I like this little saying, conversion leads to discipleship, which leads to worship, which spills over into evangelism. Bartimaeus went from darkness to the light, from begging to following, from crying to praising. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. This blessing then led to the blessing of others as they were led into worship. Psalm 67 says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Shalom. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O Lord. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Shalah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase, God. Our own God shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Do you understand? See, that's why it's so important in today's society, in church, to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord. Don't look like a bump on the log. You know, there's too many bumps on the logs. You need to get off that bump and start praising God. Off that log and start praising God. You know, this is what's going to get you through the rest of the week, is your praise and your worship while you're in the house of God. When you praise and worship when you're driving down, I get the opportunity to be in my car a lot during the week. And sometimes I'm driving 100 miles, sometimes I'm up to 160 miles a day in visiting patients. So I get that time to listen to the word, to praise, to worship, just to get carried away. Luckily, I haven't gotten an accident yet. You know, that's just by the grace of God, because there are sometimes I get so carried away in God, I'm at the place I'm supposed to be, and I'm saying, how did I get here? You know? It's just because you get carried away in God. I'm telling you today, worship him, praise him, get carried away in God. If your day's not going good, praise Him. If your day is lousy, praise Him. Worship Him. Glorify Him. It will change your outlook on the day. It will change your day and make it from bad to good. He will turn sorrow into joy when you learn to worship Him, when you learn to praise Him. And the blessing is there. The blessing is there. We are blessed in order to bless others so that all nations will worship God. Bartimaeus the blind man became Bartimaeus the believer. He recognized his blindness, exhibited his faith and his belief by crying out with boldness, and then received a blessing which spilled over to all the others that were there. And that's exactly what takes place when you receive from God. Do you understand this? Bartimaeus experienced four things. He experienced a change of focus from darkness to the light, and that's conversion. A change of direction from setting to following, and that's discipleship. A change in purpose from begging to praising, and that's worship. A change in scope was blessed in order to bless others, and that's evangelism. Conversion, discipleship, worship, evangelism. What do you need today? Jesus is waiting for you to call on Him, and that's exactly what He's doing. And as we prepare for communion and get ready for the table of this morning of communion, I will ask you this question. What stage are you at? What do you need to do next? Are you in the stage of blindness? Are you in the stage of belief? Are you in the stage of boldness? Are you in the stage of blessing? Jesus is asking you a question this morning. What do you want me to do for you? And that's what He's asking. So if you will believe in that and get into I like the last stage, and that's the stage of blessing. But you might be in other stages that you can just say, okay, Lord, I need to move forward. I need to go to the next stage. I need to go to the next level. I need to get from that conversion to the belief, you know, right up into the blessing time. I need it all. I need it all in You. And I declare to you this morning, if you will follow that, receive that, the blessing is waiting for you. The healing is waiting for you. The financial miracles are waiting for you. The job that you thought you could never have, that you could never even obtain, is waiting for you. And all you have to do is cry out to God and ask Him, this is what I desire, Lord. I want the best from You. I don't want to take and be satisfied with second best. I want the best. This morning as we partake of communion, this is your time to make and reenact. Oh God, where am I? Am I spiritually blind? And if I am, let me know, Lord, and help me. Draw me out of that. Help me to understand what I need to know in You. Draw me closer, Lord. Let me receive what You have for me. You know, and I'll tell you, when it is, you'll be like Bartimaeus. You'll be so excited when Jesus calls you up. Woohoo! Okay, Lord, here am I. You'll be so excited.